all eyes are on Kevin Cash right now. And he is on his way to the mound. That is it. And he has made the signal. Blake Snell will not face top of the order third time around. The Rays are sticking to their analytical guns, if you will, and that is bringing in a new arm third time through the order.
Dan Schulman, ESPN Radio last night on the call, and of course we all know what happened. The Dodgers went on to tack on three runs from the bottom of the sixth. Through the rest of the game, there was one run in the eighth that they scored. 3-1 final, Dodgers become World Series champions. And joining us right now to talk about the decision that Kevin Cash made via the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line is former Braves pitching coach Leo Mazzoni. And Leo, with Brad Thompson and Chris Ranji, I'm Anthony Stalzer. Thank you so much for joining us today. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing real good. But I think that what I witnessed last night insults my intelligence.
Leo.
Oh, no.
Oh, dude, you're speaking my language, man.
Let me tell you something.
It
ranks way up there with the worst moves in the history of the World Series.
Wow.
And in doing my homework or doing my love of baseball, the worst move in the history of the World Series was when Casey Stengel, decided to start Art Dittmar instead of Whitey Ford in the 1960 World Series because of the Pirates' right-handed power. That got Stengel fired. Whitey won two games, but he couldn't pitch game seven. This is the second worst decision ever made. When you have Sandy Koufax out there pitching, that's what he looked like. He had a live fastball, a controlled breaking ball, a nasty curveball, and a good straight change. He was in complete command of that game, 72 pitches, and that's where you can stick analytics. I mean, if I was the pitching coach that game, I'd have probably got fired. And if I'm pitching in that game, I'm not handing him the ball. Can you imagine going out and telling Bob Gibson he's coming out of the game?
No.
When he's pitching like that? Or how about I talk to Tom Glavine about it? You know what he said? He said there would have been a fight on the mound.
I was thinking about Smoltz too, because obviously, I mean, you had some of the best arms ever. What do you think those conversations would be like if you said, hey, go out there, hey, Bobby and I were talking about it. The numbers say third time around, you ain't so hot. How do you think Smoltz would have handled that?
I think all of them would have said you're crazy, you're nuts, or there would have been a lot of heated discussion. Number one, Bobby would have never done that to begin with, and number two, even in the game today of analytical stuff that goes on, I mean, there's a place for analytics, but it doesn't. You got to be able to look at a pitcher and see the way he's dealing. And say, well, you know what, the heck with this game plan. And I'm going to tell you how coaches adjust, because I had to do it one time. Okay, you have a game plan to let this kid go, but not through the third time line, but he's throwing so good. As a manager or a coach, you have to adjust to him. We started Steve Avery in a game against the Cleveland Indians in the World Series. And we were up in the World Series, and I wanted to bring back Maddox and Glavine on short rest, but Bobby Cox said, no, we're going to start Avery. We're going to reward you for all the great years he's pitched for us, and also I'll have Maddox and Glavine on normal rest. I said, okay. Well, now Avery goes out in that game, right? He's throwing changeup after changeup after changeup, and I kept telling Steve, remember now, changing speeds is pushing the throttle too, not just pulling it. He says, Leo, they can't hit that pitch. I said, yeah, but once you go around the order one time, they may start sitting on it because you're going 2-1 change-ups to fastball ratio, which is the opposite of what we normally would do. Next inning, change-up. I said, Steve, they can't hit that pitch. I said, don't forget about pushing the throttle. He says, Leo, I'm telling you they can't hit that pitch. You know what I said? If I were you, Steve, I'd keep on throwing it.
Damn right.
And I didn't give a damn whether they saw him two or three times around the lineup or not.
You got to trust the guy that has the ball, don't you?
You know what? They couldn't hit the pitch. So I made my adjustment.
So, Leo, I think that's a great segue to this, because adjustments, I do believe, need to be made big time. And in baseball overall, I think adjustments need to be made. Is there any way that what we saw last night on the biggest stage might end up being a good thing for baseball? Because, you know, you got a bunch of other managers sitting around and said, I'm not going to do what Cash did. You think they could work out okay for baseball?
Well, I hope it swings it the other way, because the way pitchers are being handled now is a joke. Here's what I don't understand. Say you're in the playoffs, you're in the best of five or the division series, you're in the NLCS or the ALCS, you're in the World Series, and you're asking managers and coaches, who's going to start game three and four? And they say, I don't know. How in the hell can you not say, no, who's going to start game three and four? Would somebody answer me that? Or how can you say, we're going to have a bullpen day during the World Series, or we're going to have a bullpen day during the NLCS? I mean, what's wrong? Something's wrong with the game, you know? I mean, that is not, look, your relievers are being abused, those types of things. This analytical stuff has gotten a little out of hand. There's a place for it now. Look, there's nothing wrong with having analytics. And if I was coaching today, I certainly would use analytics, but I also would use my eyes and also would know from my baseball instincts and my experiences over the years of what works and what doesn't, that you can add, the analytics can play a part, but it's not the whole damn thing.
Leo, when you're watching a guy pitch and you're in the dugout, what sorts of things are you looking for to give you the idea, and especially in a playoff situation where there's not a whole lot of room for error, and you got to be quick before a game gets away from you sometimes, what sorts of things are you looking for to indicate that, okay, I need to go get him before this gets bad?
Well, I think that what you look at is the hitters will tell you. We've been told this our entire life. The hitters will tell you the reaction of the hitter to a pitcher's pitches, okay? The other thing is he starting to pitch out in a prevent defense? In other words, what happens in football when you go into prevent defense? Well, the other team goes down and scores, you know? So what I look for is he pitching a prevent defense, or has he lost his attack mode? Is he attacking, or is he pitching, you know, defensively? Also, then you look at the life on the pitches, the reaction of the hitter to the pitches, and also you look at mechanics to see if they're changing. You look at if he's taking more time in between pitches. All these things come into play.
We're talking to former Braves pitching coach Leo Mazzoni, who's on fire today, talking about the Kevin Cash decision to pull Blake Snell. Leo, I played devil's advocate on this, and now I feel pretty pretty dumb after listening to you. Leo, I didn't like the move either to go to Nick Anderson. Not that I know what the hell I'm doing, but Nick Anderson, if you're going to follow the numbers, he also had given up a run in seven straight games. What did you think, not only of this, we know what you think about the decision to pull Anderson, to pull Snell, but what did you think about going to Anderson there?
Well, you know, I couldn't, I don't know, I don't have all that information in front of me as how he matches up against the Dodger hitters.
Sure.
But the bottom line is this, guys, he shouldn't be facing them anyway. We shouldn't even be talking about Anderson.
Yeah, that's
shouldn't even be talking about him. The way Snell's throwing, he's going to get you to the closer, or he's going to get you way down the line in that game. And so, therefore, to me, talking about Anderson is not even a factor. You know, it's handling your starting pitcher. Your starting pitchers always take care of your bullpen. And they had an opportunity last night to have their starting pitcher go very deep into that game. And wouldn't it be something if he would have completed that game? Heaven forbid, you know.
You got the wrong year, my man. It ain't going to happen. Not yet. I hope you're right, man. I hope we're trending in the right direction. Hey, Leo, we had a couple of months back, we had Tony La Russa on this show, and we were talking to him just chopping it up about baseball. And we got on the conversation of Chris Carpenter and the bulldog that he was on the mound. And obviously, this goes back to our prior conversation early about taking a guy out of the game and his reaction. I am interested in over all of the years, and it doesn't have to be one of the starters that everybody knows about. Do you have a meeting on the mound that was a memorable one, a very uncomfortable one? Like, who did you hate when Bobby would say, hey, go talk to him for a minute, Leo? Who was that guy for you?
Well, I think there was such mutual respect that there was never a problem with that. I mean, even if you had John Rocker out there was never a problem with that. You just get on the same level with everybody. You understand every pitcher's personality. Then when you go out there, it's your presentation. One time I had to tell Avery to stand up on the mound, and if he doesn't want to hear what I'm saying, just act like it, you know? And then because I respect what you're trying to do, so you respect what I'm trying to do. But I loved Avery like a son, please don't get me wrong. But we never really had a lot of confrontations because you had a manager like Bobby who put the pitchers first. You know, the pitchers were always the first class citizens of the team. Not every, but I'm saying the reason why Bobby's in the Hall of Fame is because he understood pitching, the mentality of it, and how to take care of them. And it made my job easy, to be honest with you. And but of course, it wasn't easy, but you know what I mean. And so therefore, there was such mutual respect. And here's the other thing that we had developed. We had developed a relationship with Bobby, myself, and the pitchers where the pitchers had some input. In other words, when we got John Burkett in a trade, who ended up making the All-Star team when he rejuvenated his career, in the seventh inning one time, early in that, I said, how you feeling? He goes, huh? I said, well, how you feeling? He goes, what do you mean? I said, look, if you're tired, we're going to take you out after six, but if you're not tired, you're going to have to hit because you're still in the game. And I said, what are you looking at me with that dumb look on your face for? You know, because Berkey was funnier than hell. And he said, nobody's ever asked me. They've always told me.
It's a novel concept, isn't it?
Yeah, we had pitchers say, hey, are you okay? Glavin, after the 1-0, he won 1-0 against Cleveland, right? He came in the fifth inning and said, will somebody score a run because they're not? And I went, my golly, look, okay. But then after the eighth, he said, I'm done. And you know, and he's got a one-hit shutout. Now, to show you the difference in the mentality, because we had Wohlers ready, I said, are you sure? I said, are you sure? I said, you're winning 1-0. You got a one-hit shutout. He goes, Leo, I'm mentally exhausted. And, you know, when we all get together every once in a while, I've always asked him, I said, what if you'd had a no-hitter going? he said, well, I'd have to go for it. I said, yeah, I know.
But
anyway, so, you know, this is just the types of approaches. You know, you can make a pitcher a five-inning pitcher. You can make him a six-inning pitcher. You can make him a nine-inning pitcher. It just depends on how what your mentality is and how you go about it. It's not that difficult at all. So, the pitcher, the manager makes the decision. You know, I had a manager one time who I didn't think was very good. And he told me one time, he said, this guy's only a six-inning pitcher. And I said, yeah, it's because you take him out after the sixth every time he pitches.
Makes sense.
That's fair. Leo,
see what I mean?
No question. Like anything else in life, like you are what you've learned to be. Yeah. I had the good fortune, Leo, to play for Tony, and him and Dave Duncan had an incredible relationship, and I assume it's the one between you and Bobby. How important is that to have that? Because I see around the league, man, there are times where a manager comes in and he just kind of, oh, here's your staff. It's already together. You didn't really handpick these guys. How important is that in your opinion?
Well, I think it's huge because the pitchers are going to sense that and they're going to know it. And, you know, we always used to look across the way to Tony La Russa and Dave Duncan and go, you know what? That's as good as it gets. I mean, you knew they were depending on each other and Bobby and I depended on each other. But, you know, then the manager made the final decision, though. You know, I never made a decision as far as when to take a guy out or leave him in. But I was asked what I would do. Okay, and I'm sure Tony was pretty much the same way, where you have that communication between manager and pitching coach, and you know, and when you look at it, you look at Tony, you know, he was completely in charge of that dugout, and when you looked at our dugout, you knew that Bobby Cox was completely in charge of that dugout, and they never missed nothing. I mean, you know, one time, in my young career as a pitching coach in the major leagues. And Bobby said to me my first year one time, he goes, Leo, he said, I want you to put your thinking cap on. I said, why is that? We're in the fifth inning, okay? I said, why is that? He goes, well, the pitcher could come up with the bases loaded in the seventh inning with two outs, and we got to decide to pinch hit or not. And I went, what? I went, what? I said, I'm locked in on our guy in the fifth, right? I'm locked in on our guy. On every pitch, I'm locked in. I'm sitting there rocking and locking in on every pitch and everything. And I'm not thinking about the seventh, but the manager is. And I went, holy hell, bases loaded in the seventh with two outs and a pitcher could be hitting. That to me was like, that's amazing. And I'm sure Tony was the same way. And, you know, it's great to see both of those guys in Cooperstown because that's where they belong.
Leo, you were an absolute pleasure. We can't thank you enough. Thanks for your time. Appreciate your insights, your opinions, and your energy. And we hope to join you at some point again soon.
Well, now I had one quick thing. Molina and Wainwright bring to that clubhouse analytics that can't do anything like what those two guys can bring to that clubhouse. They need to sign them.
Now you're speaking our language
again.
Leo, you're the best, man.
All right, take care.
You too, thank you. That's Leo Mazzoni, former Braves pitching coach, who was absolutely sensational.
What do you think he's doing weekly? You think that Leo would want to just hang out with us every week and just chat about baseball?
Come on in.
Yeah.